This emergence of strange new diseases is a frightening problem that seems to be getting worse. In this age of speedy travel, it threatens a worldwide pandemic. Coronavirus is here, and before it, we heard about Ebola, SARS, AIDS, and something called Hendra killing horses and people in Australia. But those reports miss the big truth that such phenomena are part of a single pattern. The bugs that transmit these diseases share one thing. They originate in wild animals and pass to humans by a process called spillover. In his new book, Spillover, Animal Infections in the Next Human Pandemic, science journalist David Quammen tracks this subject around the world. He recounts adventures in the field, netting bats in China, trapping monkeys in Bangladesh, stalking gorillas in the Congo, and he does so with the world's leading disease scientists. Again, the name of the book is Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic, and it's a great pleasure to welcome David Quammen to the roundtable this morning. David, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on
our program. Hi, Joe. Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back. We've had you on for past books, and it's good to have you on for this one. So let's talk about, obviously, this book came out before coronavirus was known to us and became the story of not only the day, but perhaps of our generation. How much did you see it even in your research? I mean, you're warning us about this throughout the book. So how much of it did you see something like this in the realm of possibility?
It was seen coming, for sure. I am not prescient, but I talked to a lot of scientists, very smart scientists, and they described a scenario very similar to what we're having now. And actually, the book is relatively recent, but published in 2012. So in 2010, I was hearing from people that, well, there will be a next big one. It'll be caused by a virus that comes out of an animal, a wild animal, very probably a bat. It'll be a virus that evolves quickly. Oh, for instance, a coronavirus. Where will let that spillover happen? Oh, perhaps at a wet market. Oh, maybe in China. They were telling me that in 2010.
All right. So
the most surprising thing about this outbreak, this pandemic, to me, is not the nature of it, but how unprepared we have been for it.
But what did we know in the sense of what could we have prepared for in the sense of over that time of even 10 years of what we could have prepared for and say, okay, this is going to happen? And then I want to ask you about specifically what spillover is, but go ahead.
Sure, yeah. Well, there's some things on the science and technology side that we could have developed and had in preparation. There are things on the public health side. The science and technology side, we could have been doing more viral discovery, looking in wild animals for what kinds of viruses are there and having some sense what might come at us, which ones are dangerous and which ones would not be dangerous. We could have had fast, sort of real-time diagnostics. 10 years ago, a scientist talked to me about a chip that he was hoping to develop that would allow you to screen somebody for a new virus in the time that it takes to go through airport security. You'd swab them, then they would take off their shoes and their belt, pull their computer out, send it through, and by the time they came out on the other side, you would know whether they were positive or negative. If we had that now, think how much that would have helped. On the public health side, well, these are obvious things, but we need more hospital beds, excess hospital beds, more intensive care units, more ventilators, more masks, gowns, and gloves stockpiled. And that wasn't done because it's expensive to have excess capacity ready for something that might happen and might not happen, or might happen during your presidential term or not.
Right. And as you said, it was something that was brought onto your radar in 2010, and it doesn't happen until 10 years later. So you never really know. It's not to excuse it, but it is to say you never know when these things happen. So talk about what is called this process of spillover. The bugs that transmit these diseases, they originate in wild animals and they pass to humans by a process called spillover. I mentioned you also were in the field netting bats in China. So using that as an example of what we're seeing with this particular coronavirus, tell us how that spillover perhaps could have occurred.
Right.
Because am I right, David, that we don't definitively know, we are guessing at this point, that that's where it originated from?
You are right, Joe. Yeah, that's correct. Strong inference that it came out of a bat, in particular, a horseshoe bat, a small insect-eating kind of bat in China. That's molecular evidence, but we didn't see it happen. The moment that a new virus, say we're talking about a virus, the moment that this new virus passes from its non-human animal host into the first human in which it takes hold, that's the moment called spillover. Essentially, that first human is patient zero in an outbreak that might or might not become an epidemic or a pandemic. And whether it does or not, once it has spilled over into that first human and taken hold in him or her, it depends on how the virus can evolve, how well adapted the virus is for not just for living and replicating in a human, has to get inside the cells and hijack the cell machinery to replicate itself. So say it does, that human gets very sick, but the next step is transmitting from one human to another. Because we've got some very scary bad viruses that spill over from animals and don't transmit easily from one human to another. For instance, rabies, which has been around forever.
Right.
But this one was adaptable enough that it not only got into a human, replicated, but found a way to transmit quite readily from one human to another.
When we talk about transmission, so the first person who you see the spillover with the bat into the human, is what they experience similar to what a patient with the coronavirus is experiencing now, or is there some sort of mutation? Is there some sort of change and evolution that happens to bring us to the virus that we are fighting now?
Well, that's a good question, and the honest answer is we don't know. We know that this virus can evolve quickly. It's a coronavirus, and that's one of the reasons coronaviruses were on the watch list. They have a particular nature, a particular kind of genome, their RNA, their genetic molecule. When it replicates itself, as they replicate, it makes a lot of mistakes, a lot of mutations. So there's variation in the population of these viruses. And this is Darwin 101. You've got variation, you've got these things replicating, differential success, evolution by natural selection. So this virus can do things to make itself more successful in Darwinian terms as it replicates in more and more humans. Now, when the Ebola outbreak in 2014 happened, people were terrified that as more cases occurred, that virus might be evolving to a point where it could transmit not just through bodily fluids, blood and things, but through respiratory droplets like this one. That's the kind of thing that can happen as a virus evolves during an epidemic or a pandemic in a human population. But it's also possible that this virus could evolve toward being less lethal, being more chronic, so that its hosts wouldn't die. They would keep walking around and keep coughing the virus onto other people. So it could go either way. It's just very unpredictable.
As I was reading the book, I was just, you're continually reminded that it just seems so amazing that the action of one human can, over a relatively short period of time, grind an entire world and an entire world economy to a halt.
Yes, yes. It does seem amazing. And yet it's true. You think back to the AIDS pandemic, as I describe in the book.
Yes.
The AIDS pandemic began with a spillover of a chimpanzee virus from a single chimpanzee into a single human in the southeastern corner of Cameroon in Central Africa back around 1908, give or take a margin of error. Very different scenario from what most people think they know about the origins of AIDS. And then it simmered very slowly in the human population until finally it hit a critical point and came busting out. But again, one incident, one spillover accounts for the pandemic strain. There are 12 different strains of HIV, but there's one that's caused those 33 million deaths around the world, and that came from a single chimpanzee into a single human.
So let me just circle back to something we were talking about at the beginning of our conversation. When you see, you mentioned AIDS a moment ago, you write about that in the book as you mentioned. Also, Ebola, SARS. So in some way, if I'm reading your book correctly and what you're telling us, we haven't really learned, it's easy to say we weren't ready for this particular coronavirus, but we have had plenty of warning about this spillover effect and what can happen. And I'm guessing, not to lead the witness here, but we have not learned from our mistakes then, have we?
We have not learned from our mistakes, no. Certainly the United States has not learned from our mistakes. Some parts of the world, for instance, South Korea and Singapore, seem to have learned. Singapore got hit very hard by SARS in 2003, scared the bejesus out of them, scared a lot of people around the world. I spent time in Singapore talking with one of the people, a doctor who saw the very first case of SARS in 2003 in Singapore, and she told me about all the measures that they took, emergency measures then, but now they seem to have taken preventive measures so that Singapore has not been hit hard by this, had cases early on, but got them under control. South Korea, likewise. South Korea was hit by MERS, another coronavirus, SARS and MERS, both coronaviruses. These were both warning shots. MERS came out of the Arabian Peninsula. South Korea got hit hard in 2015 by that, and they may have been a little bit more prepared to spend the money and establish the precautionary measures and precautionary expenditures to be ready for this one. So they were also hit hard at the beginning, but they seem to be getting it under control or having it under control right now. The U.S., not so much. What happened in Italy? Italy was really unlucky. And time will, I hope, teach us exactly what happened to cause Italy to be hit so hard so early by this.
Well, Italy and now Spain, right?
And now Spain. The numbers are exploding in Spain. But in this country, we didn't spend the money to have excess capacity, to have those stockpiles, to have those excess beds and those excess ventilators, because it's risky. If you're a politician, it's risky to spend a lot of money, as we've said earlier, preparing for something that might or might not happen in the next 4 years of your term or the next 10 years. It's risky.
Is it?
But,
yeah, go ahead.
Belated reaction is way, way more expensive than that preparation is. And we're seeing that now, as you've said.
Can we learn anything from the source as to how you cured, in the sense of scientists looking at the source and the spillover with this bat in China? Can we learn anything that would help us with a vaccine at this point or even prior to it happening?
Prior to it happening, yes. If we, for instance, this virus was known about since at least 2017, I think 2015, scientists in China found essentially this virus in bats in a cave in the province of Yunnan, not in Hubei province. And they published a paper, 2017, which I've read, saying here is another coronavirus related to SARS, but not SARS, that could be very dangerous. 2017, they were saying that. Maybe we should have started developing a vaccine for this virus back then, except it's expensive to try and develop a vaccine for every virus that you find that might infect you. In terms of knowing the source, knowing that it almost certainly came from bats, it might be of some assistance after the fact in developing a vaccine quickly, but certainly it helps you, knowing the source, it helps you in preventing the next one, which is an important part of the whole picture as well.
The book is fascinating. It is entitled Spillover: Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. David Quammen, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. I thank you for sharing your expertise with us this morning.
Joe, thank you for having me on again. Always good to talk with you.
Thank you. And to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.